அது ஏதோ சத்தியம் விரித்து சாப்டர் 2 செக்ஷன் 1 There are various ways of answering this question, how this world has come. And in the beginning, the answer will depend upon the ability of the mind of the student to understand. Because the student imagines that the world has come from something. Student has not seen this world coming from something. Even without seeing world coming from something, we put questions. Who created this world? Why should the world be created by anybody? You have already an imagination in the head that this world must have been created by someone. As this assumption is already in the mind, one has to take the stand of the disciple in assuming that there is a cause for this world, and initially, by a kind of illustration and analogy, the cause of the world and the manner of the coming of the world from the cause is described in this verse. Here is the truth, the answer to your question. As from a large conflagration of fire, sparks emanate thousands in number in all directions. In a similar manner, from this imperishable reality, varieties of individualities, species of beings and things emerge. And they return to it also as sparks of fire that rise from the conflagration, shoot up and then go back to their source, which is the fire itself. Thus is the world coming from its cause, which is the imperishable Brahma. It comes, it is sustained, and it returns. There is a beginning and a middle and an end for this world. Therefore, the world is not real, merely because of this simple fact. It has a beginning and an end, and a tentative middle. The illustration of fire and spark is to indicate for the comprehension of the student there is some quality in us which will enable us to reach God. If the effect is totally disconnected from the cause, there is nothing in the effect which can be called similar to the essence of the cause. There will be no relationship between the two. Therefore, to indicate that in spite of our separation from God, our fall from Brahman, as it were, we are still endowed with that potential for returning to Brahman, because the feet of Brahman are planted in our own heart. The Atman that we are is an indication of the universal that Brahman is. So the character of the spark being same as the character of fire in essence. This illustration makes out that basically we are verily that which we are seeing. If we are entirely dissociated from that, there will be no possibility of our returning to it. The Atman is Brahman, basically. Divya It was said that from that imperishable being, everything proceeds. The world is created by that. That supreme imperishable is the divine, formless Purusha. Here Purusha is to be understood in the sense of essential consciousness, the origin of all things is consciousness. It presupposes all thoughts, all actions, and all types of awareness of objects. Even to think, there must be a consciousness behind the thought. Even when you assert or deny a thing, consciousness is there behind the act of affirmation and denial. If you totally doubt and become a confirmed agnostic or atheist, even in that act of your agnosticism or atheism, there is a consciousness of your being such a thing. If you say nothing exists, there is a consciousness that affirms that nothing exists. Therefore, something exists. That something is the consciousness of even the denial of all things. Such is the Purusha, which is supreme consciousness. Sarva Pyabhyantaro Pyajaha, inside and outside it is there. Consciousness cannot be divided into parts. It has no fractions. There is no division in consciousness. It is indivisible. Because of the fact that it is indivisible, it is all pervading. If it is only in one place, it can be divided. If it is one place, there should be a place where it is not. Now, to know that consciousness is not in some place, consciousness has to be there already. Because the absence of consciousness cannot be known except by consciousness itself. So even the location of the absence of consciousness is consciousness itself. You cannot negate it in any manner whatsoever. The denial of consciousness is an act of consciousness only. And therefore, it is to be considered as pervading all things and not located somewhere. It is not only in one place, everywhere. Ajaha, it is unborn, it has no beginning. To conceive the beginning of consciousness is impossible. Because there must be somebody to conceive their consciousness in beginning, as it begins. If you imagine that consciousness was created sometime, you must imagine that there was something prior to consciousness which created consciousness. Then there will be what you call infinite rigorous of argument. Who created that which causes the coming of consciousness? Then you can ask another question, who caused the second one, etc. Finally, you will find that you will land yourself on the lap of consciousness. It cannot be created by anybody, because the very question of the creation of consciousness is raised by consciousness itself. And hence, finally, you have to accept that consciousness is ultimate reality. It is unborn in its nature. A prana, it is not an individual prana consciousness breathing, etc. It has no mind, because there is no necessity for it to think anything. There are no objects in front of it. So why should there be a mind? And it is not an individual with a body. Therefore, there is no prana also. Shubhra, pure, simple radiance. Achara, paradapara. Even the so-called imperishable prakriti is perishable in the light of a still higher imperishability, that is beyond prakriti. Paradapara. एतस्माद् जायते प्राणो मनः सर्वेन्द्रियाणि च तं वायुर्ज्योतिरापः पृथ्वी विश्वधारिणी. फ्रॉम दिस ग्रेट पुरुषा एवरीथिंग कम्स. द कॉस्मिक प्राण हिरण्यगर्भ एमिनेट फ्रॉम दिस सुप्रीम ब्रह्मन. The Virat, which is called here the Manas, also emanates from that Brahman. All the Indriyas or the organs also emanate from there. They are the feeders. They are the tentacles of consciousness, actually. These are the sense organs. And not only that, the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, kam, vayu, jyoti, apa, prithivi, vishvasidharini, the very earth that sustains us, the basis of all. The whole Brahmanda, the 14 worlds, 7 above and 7 below, which are the permutations and combinations, modifications of gross forms or subtle forms or real forms of the five elements, all these come from this one Supreme Being with one breath of it as it were. Agnirmurdha. This cosmic being is described here, something like a Vishwarupa Darshana of the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in one verse. Agnirmurdha. Agni here represents heaven. The radiant heavens are the head of the Supreme Being. Yatruti Chandra Surya. The sun and the moon are the eyes of that Supreme Being. Dishashrotre, the entire quarters of the space are the ears, as it were, of that being. Vagvivrata Veda, Vedas are its words, or the speech it utters. Vayu Pranaha, the entire cosmic breath, the entire air, the wind, the universal prana, is its breath. Hridayam Vishvamasya, the whole universe is its heart. Adhyam Prithivi, the gross form of physical manifestation in the form of the earth, may be regarded as its footstool. Yajadarva Hodantaratma, this is the picture before you of the all pervading soul of all beings. This illustration is to point out that all things that you can conceive in your mind or see with your eyes are part of this great being, limbs of the Virat Purusha. That something is the eye, something is the head, something is the foot, is only illustrative of everything being somehow or other organically connected with this being. The whole universe is its body. Esa sarva-bhuta-antar-atma. Tasmad-agnes-samidho-yasya-suryah somat-parjanya-oshadaya-prithivyam umanraya-tasya-nja-dijyotitayam-bhaspita-ja-purushasam-prasudah. The creation process is described here in terms of the Panchagni Vidya, which is in more detail described in the Chandogya Upanishad. This is a very interesting concept that we have in the Upanishad, Panchagni Vidya, the fivefold descent through which any event in the world can be imagined to take place. Events do not take place merely on the earth. They take place in the heaven first. A vibration takes place in the highest heaven. And this heavenly vibration is called here Agni, or the supreme fire of cosmic original activity. Sun, for us, may be regarded as representative of heaven. The heat of the sun and the light of the sun are responsible for everything that happens between the sun and the earth, and between the sun and all the planets. Any event that takes place in the world is caused by the sun. You must have heard that sunspots, which occur sometimes after several years, create catastrophes in the world. And certain positions of the sunspots suddenly cause rise in the cost of materials in the world, and sometimes the price falls. It depends upon the manner of the sunspot effect in the earth. There are also indications of the moon acting in the same way. If you have observed the moon after the new moon, after Amavasya, say 2 days or 3 days after the Amavasya, you will find a crescent visible in the horizon. This crescent is not kept properly, sometimes it is not like a cup, it is slanting. You must see it for verification. Either it is slanting to the left side or slanting to the right side, but very rarely it is just in the middle. The belief is, astronomically, that if it is slanting to the left side, prices of commodities will fall in that direction where it is slanting down. And where it is rising up, north or south as the case may be, the price of commodities will rise up. Can you imagine this mystery? How the sun and moon can control us? Moonlight does not penetrate deep into the waters of the ocean, but there are little insects about which someone has written a beautiful book called Supernature. These little mollusks, as it were, like snails, living in the mid-ocean some 2 kilometers down, where you cannot expect the moonlight to touch. These mollusks are aware of the movement of the moon, and they arrange their activities according to the movement of the moonlight, though the moonlight will not touch them. They must be great mystical astronomers indeed. And so is the wonder of the effect that is produced by the sun and the moon, and even the interstellar cosmic rays which impinge upon the earth and affect us in multifarious ways. This heavenly vibration, therefore, is the cause of everything that is taking place here. And the vibrations created by the solar orb produce such an impact upon the mid-atmosphere that the heat of the sun in a particular manner sucks the waters of the ocean and it converts it into vapor, and by the action of wind blowing in various directions according to the circumstances of nature, go as clouds and they fall as rain. Soma parjanya rain falls. Oshadhaya pratidyam, when rain falls, plants grow. There is harvest in the fields, there is vegetable, and all edibles in the world become available to us when rain falls. But how does rain fall? A great activity is taking place in the mid-heaven, over which we have no control. We cannot create rain, and we will all perish if rain is not there. Oshadhaya pratyayam. These vegetables, this foodstuff is eaten by man, which is converted finally into bloodstream, and then into the essences, which are responsible for the production of children after living a married life. Puman reda sindhiyoshidayam bhakve praya purusha sampraduta. In this manner, the heavenly Purusha is causing by his own vibration of the will, creation of every little thing in this world. Even the little crawling insects are created by the Supreme Purusha, and the creation takes place in a variety of ways. This is only one illustration in the manner of the relation of a cause and effect, highlighting how we, in our crude form of understanding, imagine how things could have come from something else. Why should anything come from something else? Because if something is not there which is causeless, and if the ultimate cause also has a cause, there will be a logical regression and the argument will break. A meaningful argument should have an end. Endless arguments are no arguments. And so, when the argument in respect of the effect coming from a cause should lead to a cause which itself has no further cause. This causeless cause must also be an intelligent one. Therefore, this ultimate cause is firstly without any cause behind it, another cause for it, and it is intelligent because it is purposive and it knows what to create, and thirdly it is all pervading because if it is located in one place only, it will be a perishable object. Thus the Supreme Purusha is consciousness, indivisible, all pervading, causative of everything in this world. Is one answer of the Guru to the disciple who raises the question, how have things come at all? Generally, when disciples go to Guru, this is the first question they put. Why was this world created? Who created? You have many other questions, no doubt. But the first question that generally arises in the mind of a student is, how has this world come? And here is a tentative answer in terms of the understanding of the disciple, for the time being. These passages of the Mundaka Upanishad that we are presently studying deal with the creative process of the universe. Yesterday we had some inkling of it. Cause producing the effect and the cause persisting to have influence over the effect continuously till the very end. The passage or the verse concerning the Panchakri Vidya, through which we passed last time, is an astounding doctrine of not only there being causes behind causes, in an endless series of connections and concatenations, but also one thing influencing the other. The Upanishad is a knowledge that cuts off all attachments. With the secret wisdom that severs the tree of bondage. One of the ways it adopts is to instill into the minds of the students the nature of the world, so so that when it is properly understood or investigated into, it will no more be a source of attraction and repulsion, love and hatred. The occurrences in the world, the events taking place in space and time, the very historical process of mankind, all these are certain occurrences taking place in the world that are above this earth. As the manifestation of this body, our own physical body, is not a sudden occurrence or an abrupt manifestation from nowhere, but a gradual concretization of impulsions and intentions coming from within. For instance, in order that the physical body may shape itself into this particular form in which we see it, it has first of all to be vitalized by the prana, which is within. The visibleness of the prana is the reason why there appears to be life and vitality in the physical body. In a similar way, activities in this world, all the processes of human history have a cause behind the physical realm. There is a super physical cause for all that happens in the physical world. The way in which the prana operates in the body determines the condition of health of the body. Prana decides whether we are healthy or sick. It is very important to know that life and prana are identical. If prana is harmoniously distributed in the body, there is a pacified state of mind also at the same time, and there is lightness of body, buoyancy of spirit, and quickness in the ability to grasp things even mentally. Internal to the body is, therefore, there is a prana that causes the so-called activities of the body. If the hands and the feet move, it is because the prana moves inside. There is a pressure in a particular direction exerted by the prana on a limb, which then starts moving. But inside the prana, there is the thought which causes the prana to operate in that particular manner. The prana will not impel the legs to move when you walk unless thought is there behind. The mind wants the prana to work in such a way that it moves the legs. But within the mind there is the reason that says it is necessary to move the legs. The mind is only a connecting link between the reason and the prana on both sides. But there is something behind the reason, namely the very fact of our being individuals in this world. Why should there be necessity to move the limbs? It arises on account of a certain kind of finitude in which we are involved. The jiva tattva is the cause, and jiva is nothing but a concentrated point of the Atman consciousness. So the tapas of Brahman created the world, said the Upanishad in one of its passages. Tapasa achyate Brahma tato anna vijayate. Anna is the product of this concentration of the will of Brahman. And all that is produced can be regarded as anna. And in this sense, the finitude itself is a product. It is anna for the concentrated will of the Atman to manifest itself as an individual. And the finitude causes another product, which is its anna, namely the reason or the intellect. The mind is the anna or the product of the reason. The prana is the anna, the product of the mind. And the physical body is the product or the anna of the prana. As it happens in this manner in an individual case, so is it that everything happens in the world. The Panchagni Vidya of the Upanishad is a cosmological iteration of the very same process that takes place in our own individuality, through which it is that we are what we are in this body. The causes behind the causes is the story of creation, especially the Panchagni Vidya Tattva. There is a cause for the body, which is the prana. There is a cause for the prana, which is the mind. There is a cause for the mind, which is the reason. There is a cause for the reason, which is the jiva tattva of finitude. There is a cause for it, which is the will of the atma. So is this production of things and events in this world, which are occasioned by certain vibrations. The vibrations are one behind the other. In the beginning, originally, there is the tattva or the tapas concentration of Brahman himself, which gyrates and produces Hiranyagarbha tattva, Virat tattva, space-time. After that, there is tanmatra, shabda, spada, sarupa, gandha. Then the five elements and all things down to the very earth, from where there is the harvest of diet and food, which eaten produces vitality in the system, causing further enlargement of the species. So there, rasma, rajasa, mayajo, vidisha, yajnascha, sarve, kratavo, darshinascha, samvatsara, chayajamanascha, loka, soho, yatra, bhavate, yatra, surya. From this being, everything proceeds, it was said. The Vedic verses, mantras, are also emanations of the being, which means the truth contained in the Veda mantras are eternally there as projections of certain aspects in the manifestation of Brahma Tattva. The chants, the mantras, which are Yajurveda, and the formulae that are employed in the performance of sacrifices, the rites connected with the yajnas, ceremonies of various types, the gifts and what not, the time even chosen for the sacrifice, and the worlds purified by the sun and the moon, which the soul will attain after the departure from the body. All these are conditioned by the original tapas of Brahman. Your future is in the hands of God. This is what actually is meant by this passage. Our past, our present as well as future. The condition into which we are born into this world, the community in which we find ourselves, the length of life for which we will be living in this world, the experiences which we will pass through are all written down in the womb of the mother itself. Jati ayur bhoga, jati ayur bhoga are already predetermined even before you come out of the womb of the mother. You cannot change one inch of it. This is the sutra of Patanjali. Jati is the category of life into which it will be born. The community is so called. Ayu is the length of life. Bhoga is the joy or the sorrow that you have to reap in this world. In a similar manner are all these things mentioned here. The total concept of events taking place in all the worlds. All the worlds. Not only the visible, tangible objects of sense, but also the processes of perception and the motive force that causes this perceptual process are also to be regarded as conditioned by this original tapas of Brahman. And there is then nothing left for the jiva to contemplate individually. The individual remains merely as an instrument of action in the hands of that great tapas of Brahma Shakti. Here creation is considered in a total sense, not merely in a linear descending series, it is taking place from all sides. Like winds blowing from all sides sometimes and not only in one direction. It is not a single direction that the will of Brahman has taken in the production of effects from causes, but everywhere there is a spread out series of causes, infinite in number, producing infinite products or effects from these countless causes everywhere. Just as we have got countless cells in the body, they are not only moving in one direction. There is a linear direction, the vertical and the horizontal, or whatever direction you may say, there is a rounding up of activity through the harmonious action of the cells from all directions. Creation, therefore, is a multi-directional activity. It is not a single direction that is taken as we walk on the road, for instance. We walk only in one direction. But the will of Brahman does not act in that manner. It acts in all directions. And it is as infinite as Brahman itself is. This is why it is said that the creation of Brahman also is infinite. Infinite produces the infinite. Limitlessness comes from limitlessness. And eternity produces eternity itself, as it were, we may say, in a most remarkable sense. Tasmacca deva bahudha sampraduta Sakya manushya pasabo vayamsi prana pano vriyavo tapascha shraddhadatyam brahma jayam vidishya. These passages connected the creation of the universe occurring in the Mundaka Upanishad have some relevance or connection with the Purusha Sutta of the Veda. It also says that all gods, all the sacrifices that are performed by the gods and also for the gods, and every animal conceivable, every little thing, birds and insects, even the grains in the fields, and the very breathing process, the activities like religious and philosophical considerations, faith and truth, self-restraint and law and order, all these are the will of Brahma. The author of the Upanishad has tried to conceive everything as much as possible. There is nothing left. We are unset by verses which are very few in number but plentiful in their abundance of meaning. From him, from that great plenum of felicity, what happens? The seven senses manifest themselves. The seven senses are called Sapta Prana Prabhavanti Tasmad Sapta Jita Samita Sapta Homa Sapta Ime Loka Yevidaranti Prana Guhadaya Nimita Sapta Sapta. Seven orifices above the neck are the references here as seven senses, the two nostrils, the two eyes, the two ears, and the mouth. These are the seven apertures which act like senses performing their respective functions. These senses and their powers of cognition, not only the location of the eyes, the mouth, etc., but also the capacity involved in them to perform their function, and the particular objects to which they are directed, as also the knowledge that such objects are the requisites for the function of a specific sense organ, and the locations of these senses physically. These are what are meant by these cryptic words, prana, archi, samita, and homa. Sacrificial terminology is used here to describe an otherwise vital function that is taking place in us. Seven pranas are the seven functions of the sense organs mentioned. And the flaming anguish of these senses to grab their particular food or object. These are known as saptarjita, seven flames. Our desires are like flames. They rush forth like burning heat in the direction of their objects. And the objects themselves are called samit, which are offered into the sacrifice. The sacrifice, the homa, the word used here. Homa or the sacrifice here is the consumption of the object. This is a kind of pranagnihotra, otherwise described in the Chandogya Upanishad. As we have an external sacrifice, which we perform in the altars, with actual physical fire lit up and oblations like ghee, etc., poured over them, they have an internal sacrifice taking place that is called Agnihotra Ubusa in the body. Only householders perform external sacrifice. The Vanaprasthas who are retired from household life perform the very same sacrifice inwardly, that is internal Pranagnihotra. When you take your meals, you are actually offering an oblation into the fire of Vaishvanara in the stomach, operating as the Samana Prana. It is the duty of any educated person in the field of spirituality not to eat food with greed like an animal, but pay some attention to the process that is taking place in the very act of taking food. We just do not lap up or grab like an animal diet that is offered, but a prayer is involved in the very process of eating. Life is a prayer. The sense organs in their greed for their objects are actually praying for a relief from the agony of their involvement in this greedy action of their longing for things. There is a deity operating inside the ear, a consciousness point is there at the back of the nervous system and the eardrum, etc., that appear to be the causes of the sounds that we hear. So is the case with all other sense organs. If you ignore the presence of these consciousness points called divinities, you would be paying disrespect to them. And the Agnihotra sacrifice would not then be performed. Those who eat without offering to the gods first as a sacrament are actually thieves, says the Bhagavad Gita. In the Panchagni Vidya series, we have been told in a very, very dramatic fashion, picturesquely, that the diet that we take is actually something produced by the earth, which happens on account of the rainfall coming from the sky. And the rain is nothing but an effect produced by certain vibrations of the rays of the sun in respect of the water element in the world. And even there, the final cause is not reached. Why should the sun act in this manner? Who has empowered the sun to project heating rays so that the water vapor may be absorbed by him and they may become clouds and move about by the action of wind also that simultaneously cooperates in this process? Why should all this take place? Let the sun convert water into vapor, but why should the wind also blow simultaneously? Who is the reason, who is the cause behind this cooperative activity? There is something beyond the sun also. That is the heavenly spirit willing that things should take place in this particular fashion. So this kind of Panchagni Vidya is taking place inside the body as well as outside the body. All occurrences inwardly as well as outwardly, inside us as well as outside in the historical world, are manifestations by a series of causes and effects of the central will, the concentration, the tapas of Brahman, tapasa jiyate Brahma. சப்தைமே லோகா ஏஷு சரந்தி பிராணா உபாஜயா நிமிதா சப்த சப்தா. Seven are the worlds which will be reached by the performer of this kind of internal Agnihotra, Panchakri Nitya Tattva. And any one of these worlds will be your fruit thereof. You know the seven worlds. And you will be reborn there in any way, in any fashion, according to the devotion with which the sacrifice has been performed. Outer sacrifice as well as inner sacrifice, both have a common intention of lifting the soul above this physical body and taking it to the heavenly regions, even up to the highest Brahma Loka. Samudra, even the oceans are created by it. Don't you think it is a picturesque description? Hirayashcha sarve, the mountains cannot be there but for the will of that being. The oceans, the rivers, asmasyandande sindhava sarvarupa. The author of this Upanishad must have been a great poet, Sri Kalidasa, who beautifully presents before us the foretale of all the values of life as emanating from one single point. Atha samudra girayascha sarve asmat sandante sindhava sarva rupa. அத்த சர்வா ஓஷதையோரூட்டாத்மாத்மன் அப்பியரிங் அட் பிரம்மன் அவுட் சைட் அண்ட் த கூட்ட தத்வா இன்சைட் அஸ் இஸ் த காஸ் ஆஃப் ஈவன் த மைட்டி ஓஷன் அண்ட் த டவரிங் ஹிமாலயா மவுண்டன் ரிவர் ஃப்ளோ இன் எ பர்டிகுலர் டைரக்ஷன் ஓன்லி அண்ட் நாட் இன் அதர் டைரக்ஷன். The sun rises only in one direction and not elsewhere. The stars scintillate and have their positions maintained not in any other manner, only because of the terror of the operation of the law and order system of the Brahman tapas. All the trees and plants even grow only because of the will of the tapas. There cannot be a breeze moving, wafting through the leaves in the thick of the forest of trees unless that tapas operates. Do you believe that such a thing is possible? That one atom cannot vibrate and act in the manner it does unless the central will is there, operating at the nucleus of that atom. Yena isha bhutai stishtate shantaratma. Through all these manifestations mentioned in various ways, this inner Atman rejoices and glories itself. It plays in the form of this universe. That is Lokavattu Leela Kaivalyam says the Brahma Sutra. Why does the Supreme Brahman manifest itself? Why does it do tapas and concentrate and become all these things in this way? Lokavattu Leela Kaivalyam. Why do children play? Why do they create mud houses in the evening and then kick them out and then come back home? Why they skip and dance? There is no reason for that. So is the reasonless sport of Brahman in the form of this picture's manifestation. Purusha eva idam vishvam. The whole cosmos is this Purusha only. You are seeing nothing but that in front of you. karma tapo brahma paramrtam. Your actions, your activities, your studies, and the fruits of your actions, they are all included in this vast manifestation called Evedam Sarva. The Purusha Sutta speaking in the Upanishad, through the Upanishad as it were. Etadyo vetanihitam guhayam. Sovidyakram jambhijaratiha gomya. My dear disciple, the Guru is speaking. Listen, whoever knows this secret that I have been telling you all the while, in connection with the Atman, which is the deepest reality of every individual and the deepest reality of the cosmos, whoever knows this correctly and lives in it, such a person breaks the knot of ignorance. Avidya grantim vikirati. He tears round and scatters it into pieces. He scatters the knot of the ignorance which has caused us to believe that we are here as isolated individuals and the world is outside.